The cover is illustrated like that of a romance novel. We can see Deja Velocity and Artificer holding on to each other while Lacey holds a cracked porcelain mask to her face. Together, the three of them are staring into the foreground, where the wind swirls around Sahira, her clothes flowing as she clashes swords with the world dressed in a poet's shirt. This is Protean City 2021 Pride Annual Issue Number 4, The Weight of the World.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Artificer, here to use the pieces of my past to construct a better present.
I'm... And your secrets are mine to keep.
I'm Sahira, and with the animals on my side, beating you is the natural outcome.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
Welcome back, friends and enemies, to another episode of Protean City Comics. We're continuing our research and redemption line of the story here, leading up to our big finale, and we're going to just jump straight into the issue here. So I think the first panel of this comic is going to be exactly the same as the last panel of the last comic, which is the world just kind of sinking into the pool of data magic on the ground and saying, you know, right now it's 1 versus 4, but soon it'll be 8 billion versus 4. We are going to start the comic out after you flip that page with some time passes, quick little montages with a slightly sinister twist. I would like for everyone to give me one scene of their characters kind of just doing something in the next like couple of weeks, living their life, and one weird way that they get hurt about it that seems innocuous.
Well, I think that I am having a scene with Deja Velocity. I'm trying to decide whether we would be in, like, plain clothes or whether we would be, like, dressed up. I think we're not at the point to be back in plain clothes together. So I think it's a different night. I'm in my Artificer getup, and they're in their Dash of Velocity suit. And we're just sitting with our legs dangling over a rooftop talking. I think just, like, showing that they're doing this, and then maybe... on a panel when Victoria is leaving, like, she trips.
Yeah, so I think like a panel of you two like climbing up to the roof, a panel of legs dangling, and then like those empty voice bubbles to tell the audience that you're talking about something, but we don't know what, or that it just doesn't matter what. And then a panel climbing down, and then like a zoomed in almost like action shot of Victoria like rolling her ankle, climbing down from this ladder, and we'll get like a little magnifying glass that like zooms in on the ankle and an emoji with a frowny face, and there's some like stress lines waving over the emoji. You roll your ankle and we get that little magnifying glass of like the angry face. Lacey, what are you doing just kind of in your normal life? We'll say like as a week and a half passes.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, very normal, typical student stuff. Lacey has snuck into a lab one night and is rifling through a filing cabinet. And if you've ever gotten a paper cut with the entire edge of a manila folder full of papers, yeah, I think that's how she gets hurt.
Yeah, we get a little action shot and magnifying glass, stress face emoji. What weird thing is written on the manila envelope? Like, I want to... give that world some flavor.
It's something like inverse photonic manipulation via carbon nanofibers.
Hell yeah. And then Sahira, what are you up to during this week and a half, and how do you get hurt?
Okay. So I think besides class, I think the moment that like we zoom in on is they are in like a garden of campus, surrounded by a bunch of assorted animal companions. Birds, cats, mice, etc., who are all helping her using their various scientific knowledge from studying all their students, try to assemble a gift for Victoria and Deja. And so they're like trying to build this device because they don't particularly practice like mechanical sciences, more magical sciences. And so they're not particularly experienced in this. So all the animals are like trying to help her assemble this, but E keeps putting it in the wrong place. And then like one of the animals walks over and like tells them to move it elsewhere. And then goes for a bit. And like after a while, Sahira leans back to like just rest on the grass and like starts running her hands through a nearby flower. Normally that's a thing, it's perfectly fine. But apparently there's a rose there that she just never noticed, and she pricks her fingers on one of the thorns.
Yeah. And so like I think you'll pull your hand back and you'll see the like one little dollop of blood on the finger. And a magnifying glass and a little angry face. We'll cut to the world in one of the science labs with like a beaker of some of that glowing blue data fluid. They are like boiling it, and there's some sort of like distillation tube that comes out of it. And they have a laptop open up in front of them. And I think they're like scrolling through like the university's not directory, but like the before Facebook became Facebook, the like social media for the university is what I'm kind of looking for. And I think that they have like three little tiny windows open and readers can see each of your faces on them. And then we'll get a panel of the world pulling up a window on their laptop. And we can see like a subject line and an email. And it says, for immediate release, crime stopped by new hero in Hillside Park. And then they hit a big button that says send. And they take the beaker of the data fluid and drop one drop, two drop, three drop, and then jump down into a hole in the floor. And we'll cut to, I think, a scene. Here we go. This is what I would like to see. I would love to see Sahira presenting a gift to the gift to Victoria.
Okay.
And then shortly after the gift is presented, I would love for Lacey to run in with the news that the world has started to get some press coverage.
Okay. Where would Sahira find Victoria? It's about midday, rethinking?
Probably in the like, workshop, the engineering workshop room.
Okay. I think so. First, the first panel is just like Victoria working in the workshop room, and then there's just a tap from one of the windows.
I think she takes a little bit too long to notice, but she eventually does because she's so engrossed in whatever thing she is working with, a big like a big wrench on something. But she goes over to the window.
Hi. I tried to find the doors, but I don't actually know where this room is on the inside of the building. Hi.
I think she finds one of the windows that has like a that they open because it can get pretty hot in this. Yeah. So it's one of the few like first floor windows that has like a really big rooms on the first floor that has like really big windows. And she pulls it open and she's like, "Oh, it's coming this way." And she holds out her hand to help her climb through the window.
Thank you. And Sahira will like reach out and grab it, but then like I think just let you help her in far enough that they're sitting on the windowsill, but like won't go further.
Sure.
In is things going well with class and stuff?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out something new. It's like a scooter, but like steam powered. You know how it is.
Fari said that they saw the design and were begrudgingly impressed, I think was the terms they used.
Of course. I mean, always...
Hey, that's pretty high compliments, considering. I should have heard what they said about the last person who tried to make a transportation vehicle.
Thanks. What have you been up to?
Actually, that's kind of what I'm here about. And she's just, like, tapping her hands on a box that she's holding onto.
What is it?
It's for you. Sorry, let me try it again. It's for you.
She's blushing. Oh, really?
you know, I figured you'd appreciate it, is all. I mean, I'm sure you could do something a lot better with a lot more ease, but, you know, yeah. It just slides it over.
Yeah, so I take the box and, I'm not sure if I want Smitten to... I think I want Smitten to activate now. So, Truths of Heart and Blade, Undeserving. When you become Smitten with someone, say why, give them a string, and answer the question. Why do you think they would be wrong to forgive you? I mean, Sahira is, you know, a really nice person who has never, who, as far as I know, doesn't have a history of purposely hurting people like me. And I don't understand why she gives me the time of day. Yeah, that's my answer to that question. So you have a string on me.
Cool. I will keep that down.
And I'm going to open the box.
What is a project that Victoria worked on, like, half-heartedly or hit a wall on, so kind of gave up on?
I think that anything, like, small and delicate that isn't part of a larger thing. Like, she can make small mechanisms as long as they're attached to a big thing like her sword. But I think anything that's, like, super small that works on its own is something that she's had a hard time with. So anything like delicate would probably be something that she started and gave up on.
Okay. So you look inside the box and you find very steampunky shoes. And you know, like, your technology sees, you recognize a bunch of components to help with transportation and movement, and a small device for, like, transferring momentum. As you look at Sahira starts muttering, well, you know, you've been spending time with Deja recently, and I figured, you know, you'd want, you know, since her entire thing is going fast and speed and stuff, I figured you'd want a way to keep up with them. And so, you know, the shoes, if you put them on, should, when they're around, should help you keep up. Maybe not quite as fast as them, but, like, the animals say that should help, and the closer you are, the faster you'll be able to go. So, yeah, I don't really know how it works, but, you know, I put a few touches in it of my own, and you notice some, like, some animal designs etched into some of the, like, metal, and, like, a few flower patterns sketched around it. I hope you don't mind. I know it's not 100% your aesthetic, but yeah.
I think she's just, like, as Sahira is giving this description of, like, what they are, she's just, like, in stunned silence, looking at them, her face just getting redder and redder as, you describe what the purpose is, and she's, like, just marveling at the small details that, Sahira has put into them, as she says, oh my gosh, Sahira, these are so beautiful, and just... You put so much thought into these. I mean, I
didn't really put that much. I mean, it was mostly the animals. I just kind of listened to what they had to say and then and followed their instruction.
Well, I love them. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Should I try them on right now?
If you want, yeah. Here, you might want these. And, like, she pulls out a small little... two, like, earmuffs on a chain with, like, an amulet between them. You know, going fast, sound and, like, wind can be rough, but I put a little amulet so that, like, it should make you, well, hear only animal sounds normally, but, you know, that's enough. Animals are best thing to hear, right?
Oh, God.
So cool.
Yeah, I think Lacey is gonna, like, burst into the workshop and just stride right over to you. And, all right, we got a problem. Nice shoes. Look, you remember that world guy that we ran into a few weeks back? They're on the front page of the Gazette, the Mirror, page 17 of some high school paper called The Lantern. I don't know what that's about. Strangely, not mentioned in the Globe, but, like, suddenly out of nowhere and their front page news as a new hero stopping crimes. Like, they tried to whammy us, right? That wasn't a dream.
I don't know. That was.
Right, right.
Definitely not. Nope. We're going to have to probably get off this windowsill, huh?
Yeah, do you want help getting down?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so I, you know, put my hand out to help you climb down.
I feel like I take it, I gotta stumble a little, like, as I hop off the windowsill.
Yes, and I catch you.
Thank you.
That sounds like you're offering someone support.
Yes, so let me get to the right window.
Although, in a way that could be meaningful to them. So, I don't know, Sahira.
No, this is definitely.
All right. So, I roll plus heart or plus spirit. So, I will roll plus heart. And, yes, I got a 7. So, if they open up to you, they choose one. So, you get to choose one from the list.
Okay. So I think opening up in this case just means, like, I stumble and you catch me and I'm just going to, like, instead of, I feel like my immediate instinct is just to, like, steady myself, just to, like, be no, but, like, I feel you catching me and I just decide to let you be the support that is stopping me from falling for a second. And I will go ahead.
As you, like, stumble and have to be caught, we'll get a little action shot of you bumping, like, your shoulder up against the window, and we're going to get a little magnifying glass and a very angry emoji face with some stress lines.
Oh, if you're smitten with me, you get to choose an additional option. And because okay. I'm smitten with you, if you refused, it would have hurt me. I would have gotten a condition. But
great. So I pick 2. So I'm going to... I don't have a condition right now, so I'm just going to take +1 forward. And then I will gain insight from the GM about an obstacle facing one of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think the insight about an obstacle facing one of you. Let's see.
If I could offer perhaps direction.
Yes.
Perhaps something to do, because it's been established that Artificer and the world have a little bit of a history.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something to do with that, or with Artificer's relationship to the world and making sure I can help keep or safe from that.
Yeah. I think it's... Yeah, I was thinking something to deal with the Steam Society, to bring in that connection. So I think that, like, you catch Sahira and, like, help her down from the windowsill. Mm-hmm. And I think, Sahira, you're reading this article as... Victoria is, like, helping you down. You, like, grab the phone from Lacey, and immediately you're like, that's a Steam Society logo on a non Steam Society villain. So, like, the picture on the article is like the world with some villain, like, in a very action, like, it's reminiscent from, like, a Protean City comic, very iconic one from, like, the 30s. Where one of the heroes is, like, punching a bad guy. And it's that pose, but you're like, wait, this doesn't look like a Steam person. Like, this is a nature hero. So there's a hero duo named Xylem and Phloem, which are the two types of tissue for transferring water and food mm-hmm. in plants. And so I think the world is, like, beating up Xylem. And you know, because you're the nature witch, that they're never apart. So something's a little fishy. And also the fact that Xylem is wearing a Steam Society outfit does not make sense.
Hmm.
And so the insight that I'm giving you, kind of meta, James, you can leave it or include this, is that the world is, like, manipulating.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess architecting this.
Cool. Sorry, I think I missed the start. Where how am I seeing? Is this on the newspaper that Lacey got, or is this like I'm getting a vision? Or like, what?
Yeah, so I imagined Lacey came in, like, with a smartphone or something, and you're grabbing it as you're getting carried down from the windowsill.
Okay. No. Ooh, I think I got it. I think like, so, like, as I'm, like, lying, like, kind of, like, half standing, half falling in Victoria's arms, I think there's, like, a monitor somewhere across the room that just, like, I'm at the perfect position to look across and see it because of the fact that I'd, like, stayed there for a while longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's where I see that article because it's, like, on front page news.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and without, like, getting up, just point across. Hey, do y'all recognize them? And I pointed Dylan.
They're not part of the Steam Society as far as I knew.
They're a hero as far as I know. Last I checked, they seem to be in it for similar reasons I was.
Oh, yeah, they usually have a partner, don't they?
Yeah. Phloem? I think I think the world is using whatever they tried to do to us to turn heroes into villains and then beat them for good press.
Hmm. That's a bit comic booky, don't you think?
I mean, well, maybe they're just, if they were messing with perceptions of the world, maybe they're making people see the heroes as the villains. So if they're going to stop them, any heroes who try to stop the world get portrayed as villains.
Yeah, maybe that is what's happening.
And also, comic booky as opposed to, and I feel like the next panel is just a silent zoom out of everything in this room, from like the fact that Sahiro still hasn't moved out of Victoria's arms, the fact that there's all this science that's very comic booky all around us. Just yeah. Lacey probably like having like something on her to do with her like secret crimes.
Yeah.
Just a silent shot of that, but it's like one panel with no text.
Yeah. And you're like looking around the room, and I imagine you're still like holding your shoulder from where you had bumped it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still, Sahira is still in my arms. but I look over at Lacey and be like, so Lacey, what's the plan? And I'm not going to let go of Sahira until she like fully rights herself.
Well, we're going to be here for a minute.
Very good.
Right. The plan. That's me, the plan person. Stop them somehow?
I'm with you. Yeah.
They said they were trying to hunt down their lab partner. What if we find them first? Maybe they could help.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good idea.
You know, big guy, really muscly. I haven't seen him today, but I swear I've seen him around at some point.
So I think I'm going to realize that, like, my greasy hands are on Sahira's, like, arm. And I'm going to be like, oh, I'm getting grease on you. And I think I will try to gently let her go.
Oh, it's fine. I mean, I get dirt and stuff. But yeah, I should probably, and, like, adjust myself. And, like, to prove my point, just show my hands that have dirt and just, like, rub them over the bit with, like, grease on it. See? Same difference.
All right, yeah. I think Victoria is still blushing through all of this.
You should have seen how much grease I managed to drop when I was trying to build those.
Yeah, these might come in handy really soon.
Yeah. I think Lacey's like looking between the two and goes, so are you two? And points back and forth between them. And she gets a thought bubble like, this is at least 2 weeks sooner than I projected.
Because she's tracking her every moment.
Are we...
Are you trying to figure someone out?
Mostly, yeah. I was just doing it for the bit, but yeah, I think it is a figure out a person. Roll plus wit. I rolled an 8. My wit's a +2 because I'm very smart and clever. So that's a 10. And
so you get 2 questions, and then they get to ask one of you.
Nope, I got a 10. They can't.
Oh, that's
ask
right.
Me yeah, that's anything.
A mixed success for asking questions back.
Jokes on them. And honestly, even if you could ask me a question, I have a power that just lets me lie.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. Baked into the trickster.
I mean, I'm very clearly asking, what are your feelings towards each other?
I think this is answered by Victoria still blushing through this. And I think she's like rubs the back of her hand on her forehead and again leaves another streak of grease.
So I don't think Sahira understands the question you're asking. Like, she's like, are you, and tilts her head confused. But when Victoria does the like grease stain, Sahira will just, without even looking, like pull out a small handkerchief and pass it to like Victoria to wipe it off. Oh. So the answer, if it wasn't clear, is head over metaphorical heels / steampunk shoes.
Thank you. I always forget to wipe the grease off. Is that emotional supports also? Like the offering of the handkerchief?
I don't
or no, think not enough. No. Okay, that's fine.
I don't think like they're even registered. Like it's just that automatic response to see it get out of the corner of their eye.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Cool. Okay, I'll give you 2 a minute. And then I'll meet you in the computer lab. We can figure something out.
A minute for what? Don't we gotta go do plans?
No, I think you two could use a minute. Lacey just turns and walks out.
Yeah, I like that. And then, so I think the panel is like, as Lacey is leaving the room, we'll see Victoria putting a shoe on.
Yeah. And I feel like there's a text bubble like through a now like a door that's like in the background as I think like the panel follows Lacey, and just there's a text bubble that says, "Oh, a minute to test the shoes. Got it."
Good.
Exactly.
Good. Hell yeah. So, in the cafeteria, I think you had said like midday, right? So I think it's like there's people there, but you can find like a table that's kind of quieter. I think we'll see like a vibrant university cafeteria scene. There's like jocks and nerds all around. And then the three of you, I think maybe like with smartphones out, maybe just kind of looking at the article. I think maybe someone's got like the Wikipedia page for Xylem and Phloem pulled up. And then you had said that you were going to look for Atlas too.
Yeah.
I would like to use my Awaken the Wild move.
Mm.
When you are in a safe position and attempt to commune with a place or non-sentient creature, roll plus spirit. Okay, so if I've learned one thing from being at this school, it's that the cafeteria floors have seen everything. And I mean, like, y'all make messes of your places. But I bet you if someone has known something about Atlas, this floor probably knows it too. And I would like to go ahead and try this.
That's like the perfect commune with a place idea for a cafeteria. I love that because it's so gross.
Yep. Okay. So, my spirit is 1, I rolled a 7, so that's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
So on 7 to 9, I will choose 1, and the GM will offer me a hard choice or success at a cost. I'm going to go with, you make it dangerous to a certain person or creature or type of person or creature. I would like to make it inclined to be hostile towards the world. I would like to make this space a zone where the world is not welcome, and so use that as a way to get the place to offer up Atlas so that we can stop the world proactively.
Yeah. And so then I think the success at a cost that I'm going to give to you here is that, like, you have to get down to the floor to, like, commune with it. And I think as you, like, squat down, we get an onomatopoeia of, like, a crack and, like, a little action shot on your lower back. With a very upset emoji and some stress lines. I think you like come back up clutching, like holding your lower back in that very like movie, my back hurts kind of way.
Yeah. There's a wince and I just shrug it off because like, yeah, I'm a sortsy type. I'm sure it's nothing wrong. You know, I'll be fine, right? I'm healthy and I do stuff all the time. It'll not be a problem. That'll come up later. What are you talking about? and then I'm going to just reach into my bag and like pull out a like biodegradable soap bar and put it on the floor, and it just dissolves into the floor instantly as an offering to the cafeteria for its help.
So I think like as you shrug, the panel is like you shrugging and then little red pain lines on your back, on your shoulder, on your finger. I realize that Sahira has become like the only one to get hit with these outside of our
opening. It's fine.
Yeah, it's gonna be totally normal. But then, so I think it doesn't take super long for the cafeteria to identify Atlas, because and I think we'll get like a couple panels of just the three of you waiting, and at first glance, the panels, like I think there's maybe three or four of them. They all look the same, but an astute reader with a clever eye could see bubbles start to come up from one of the little like random people in the background of hustle and bustle of the cafeteria. And then in one panel, there's maybe like a nothing. And in the second panel, there's like one bubble, two or three in the third. And then in the fourth, in the other end of the cafeteria, a jock jumps up onto the table and yells, "Why am I breathing bubbles?" and we'll get a cut to that panel of this very beefy dude. Just like as he's saying this, there's bubbles coming out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Like Little Rascals style.
Did you go by the marine bio department?
Sorry, I think that might be my fault. Are you Atlas?
Atlas just like rushes over to you in a way that suggests that he is trying to hide something. And I think, like, sits down at your table, and after everything's calmed down, just says, like, I don't use that name here. And, like, points to his letter jacket and says, like, Kennedy or something.
So
I think Kennedy James is the name on the jersey.
So you are Atlas. Completely ignoring that.
And I think we'll get, like, a panel of Atlas with a very beefy hand, just, like, not angry or, like, not threatening, but just, like, the very cartoonishly, like, please shut up. And Atlas says, like, not here, outside. And we'll cut to, like, under some trees. It's quiet. And Atlas says, like, you could probably understand why I don't want to be going around at school with the name of my supervillain alter ego. And besides, I'm done with that.
Yeah, well, the world seems to have other ideas.
And then, like, a panel of very surprised Atlas. And he says, well, I knew they were still out there, but I didn't think they'd come back here. How are you okay? Who's hurt? And is just kind of, like, looking the three of you up and down.
Wait, hurt? What do you mean?
Well, if you've met the world, if you know that the world is here and that I'm connected to the world, that means that you must have run into them at least a half dozen times. How come none of you is, like, bent over in a full body cast?
Well, we only faced them last week for the first time, right? It was last week.
A couple weeks ago, I think.
3 weeks before that.
Okay, right.
Okay, so maybe it's still, they're still early, it's still hope. I think the last time that the world got beaten, it was from a pretty early matchup.
I mean, they weren't that particularly scary when we fought them. They had some strong magic on them, but not the most I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's their strength. They'll come at you and fly under the radar for just long enough to get it to be too late. Why are you seeking me out?
You're speaking more cryptically than the salamanders usually do. I'm gonna need you to clarify.
Okay, well, square one. The world is a bad, bad villain. I think we'll get, like, a panel of, like, the four of you kind of sitting under this tree and talking. And then alongside that panel, there's, like, a big scroll that is unfurled. Mm-hmm. And in fancy writing, it says, like, facts about the world as related by Atlas. and so it's, like, fact one, the world has two powers, controlling... And then in like air quotes, the world. So takes over people. And then death by a thousand cuts. Fights through attrition and small injuries. And then fact number two. Used to team up with Atlas while Atlas was under the world's control. Freed in Protean City Pride issue number two. And then fact number three. The world wants something in Hillside Park. Maybe fame, maybe respect, maybe knowledge related to the university, ? And then I think it would be fun if we each added a fact about the world, just to fill out that page so we don't only have three facts.
I think this is obvious, but, like, they usually work with a partner or an underling.
I think one of them is the world is a Libra.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Fact number six. The world is weakest where the world is most plentiful.
I love that. Yeah, so, like, their power spreads out based on how many people are around. Is how I'm understanding it?
Part of it, yeah. I think also, I think the first world... the world's name, I'm assuming, is capitalized T, right?
Yeah, it's like T, yeah. Capital T, so capital I think W.
In that writing, the first world is capitalized, the second one isn't.
Okay, hell yeah.
So the world, capital W, villain, is least powerful, where the world, capital W, like our world, is most plentiful.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Love that. And so I think after this, like, big panel of, like, Atlas hanging out and telling you all these facts, I say hanging out like this is, like, a casual chill sesh. after Atlas kind of, like, revealing these truths about the world, we'll get a shadow that, like, that plays over the group And then the next panel is Deja Velocity with like the sun behind them. And like a bunch of little whirring things like and powering up noises around their super suit. And you look into their eyes and their eyes aren't like irises and pupils, their eyes are like little globes. Which was the visual signifier of someone who is like under control of the world. And Atlas looks very afraid at that and just says, oh no. And then I think Deja Velocity like leaps in and hits Atlas with like a spear with or just like a jump. We are going to start fighting.
Okay, so a spear tackle and not a spear.
Yeah. A spear tackle, I should say. Deja Velocity has, like, hit Atlas with a spear. He goes flying. They, like, jump up in, like, the superhero three-point stance. And who is doing what? How are people reacting?
Well, I'm the only person who hasn't drawn their sword yet, so I think I'm going to react.
Yeah.
And as the trickster, I have a surprising sword. And I think Lacey like stands up from the ground and holds her hand out back towards the building. And we have a like stream of electricity arcs off of like a power converter on the outside and coalesces around her arm and extends down into a blade. And she's like, all right. Let's see how fast you really are.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to like lash out at Deja Velocity with a lightning blade.
Hell yeah.
Kind of whip thing.
Roll either daring or grace for this fight, unless you have a playbook move.
I don't have a playbook move. I would love to use grace instead of daring.
Yeah, do it. Just a
better look for me. And I am unbeatable. That's another 10.
Yo, hell yeah. So you get 3, your opponent gets 1.
Cool. I'll create an opportunity for my ally through prowess or distraction. I'll take an object from my opponent. I think like some of the power arcs and overloads their suit a little bit, so they're not quite as fast as they normally are.
Yeah.
And then I'll inflict a condition on them.
Cool.
So I have an idea.
Yes.
If Sahira rolled sapphic science for the shoes, I get supportive science in using them.
I had a different idea for sapphic science.
Oh, okay.
We do still have to resolve a flirt, though, because
yes,
that was the option that was not chosen. I love this list of flirts and zingers in the core book. after like a few sparking blows, Deja Velocity extends their sword, which I think is like a hockey stick. Because I've been imagining them as like a rollerblade, roller skating kind of like super
Hell yeah.
suit. And so their sword is long like a hockey stick, and they like extend it. And then they like point it at you and like lift your chin up with it. And then they pull back in another stance. There was talk of super science, super sapphic science.
I had an idea, but if Victoria wants to do something with the shoes first, please go ahead. Because I've been doing a lot already.
So I feel like I have these shoes. Why not use them to try to like get close to Deja Velocity and see if I could snap them out of it. Depending on how you want to do that, that could be the sapphic science using the shoes that Sahira made, or just trying to do an entice to try to get close.
I like the sapphic science just because it has that connection, that like inter-character connection.
Yeah.
Feels more dramatic to me.
I think that Sahira should roll it because they are the one that made the shoes. And then I could use my string with them, regardless, because, you know.
Well, here we go. When you influence with a string to add to someone's role for sapphic science, this is supportive science from the setting book that we're using. Describe how your knowledge and approach affects the final product and choose one.
Yeah, so this was as Sahira said, this was something that was like inspired by something that I thought about making and then gave up on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that even though I didn't make these, I understand what their intended use is, like how to use them. I think that knowledge, and then also from being familiar with how Deja moves, using that knowledge to increase my ability to use these shoes so that I actually can use them.
Yeah, hell yeah. So then you have four options to choose from.
Yeah. I think that I would just actually like to choose the string is not expended. Because I would like to be able to help Sahira with something else later.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to get close to Deja Vu and be like, hey, it's me, what's happening? Because I don't know them as a particularly... they're more of like a hit someone and run away than like a prolonged combat. So even though I don't know that they have... that they are brainwashed necessarily, that I know something's up with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
So, since... Makes sense that this was a thing I built as a gift, and with the help of all my animal companions, that it's I'm doing it with heart, empathy, support, or for the community. And so I rolled a 7 plus 2 heart plus the 1 from the string. So I get to choose 2. I'm going to go with the creation goes beyond your imagination. So I think it works perfectly for Artificer to be able to get into position to do what they want and give a string to Artificer, and they can take a string if they feel closer as well.
I definitely do. So.
All right.
Hell yeah. So yeah, the boots work perfectly. And you are like getting in and out. And you like close within reach of Deja's like hockey sword. The boots let you like dodge out of the way. And tell me again, you're trying to like get in and see what you can do to disrupt the control.
Yeah. So I think I'm trying to like, you know, hands on the shoulder, be like, hey, it's me. What's happening? I'm listening. What's going on? I'm not sure what move you'd like me to do with that. I'm trying to do.
Yeah, there are many that could appeal here.
Yeah.
Or that could work here.
Yeah.
So are you trying to appeal to their physical or emotional sensibilities? Are you trying to influence them with the string that you have on them? Are you trying to offer them support? Do you have a playbook move that might work better?
Yeah. I don't think I have... Oh. When you allow yourself to be vulnerable to someone you hurt during your villainous past, they choose one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the name of the move is Make It Right.
Yeah.
So you get to pick from this list. Decline to engage, they gain a string on you. Lash out, you stagger. And the you is me in this list. Guide you, they mark XP and give you a task to help make amends. Show vulnerability, you take +1 forward to interact with them. Forgive you, they clear a condition and this move no longer triggers with this person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm, you know, trying to get up to them. I try to, you know, gently put my hands on their shoulders. How gently that can be when we're moving super fast, I'm not sure. I'm looking into their eyes and I'm saying, Deja, it's me. What's wrong? I'm sorry if this is about before. You're right to be upset. I didn't do right by you. And I want to help. I just tell me what's wrong and I can help.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how else to say end that.
Yeah, I think that that's perfect. So they are going to choose one. Because I think this breaks them out. And so I think, like, this whole speech, like, we're not getting stable backgrounds for any of these panels. We're getting, like, action blur on everything. And then I think we'll get one panel of Deja looking, like, very shocked and touched, and that the background from that action or from that panel goes from action blur to totally stopped still photography. And they just like a very small, quiet voice bubble says, I hear you. Thank you. And then they like collapse in your arms. And so they forgive you. You each clear a condition and this move no longer triggers with this person. But then also, I think, before we can even get a break, Lacey, you're at four feelings.
Yeah, it's great. If your feeling track reaches four, you can't hold it in anymore. Tear off the mask and scream what you've been holding in. Do what you've been afraid to do and damn the consequences. And I think it's like when Deja like lifted her chin up with the hockey stick, her eyes met those globe eyes and she saw how like the world is manipulating people and felt how she's been manipulating people and lying to them. And then Victoria has and Deja have that very sweet like forgiveness and reconciliation moment, and she like staggers back and her sword kind of like sizzles and dissipates, and she's just starts tearing up and reaches up and she like pulls the hair clips from her bangs, letting them fall loose, and also her image kind of shimmers as the hologram that was concealing her appearance dissipates. So she has like dark teal hair now instead of just generic green, and she's wearing a very cool leather jacket. She looks a lot cooler than she did before. She's not a nerd, she's a cool nerd. She's like, I'm sorry, I've lied to all of you. Victoria, I'm the reason that your machine, that Inventrix, always knows where to find you. And Sahira, I'm the one who stole your final project last semester because it was really cool. And also, it was kind of used by a villain at a bank heist. And I'm sorry about that. I didn't know it was going to be used for that. And I've just been, I'm not anyone. The person you know is a lie. And I can't do this anymore. And she's just going to like curl up on the ground. Because that's how I deal with my problems. I just cry a lot.
Oh.
Okay. I think Sahira is got like, there's a moment of oh in her eyes when like Lacey admits all that. And then she's going to walk over to where like Lacey just kind of curled up. And I would like to use stand proud. When you first stand up for something you believe in or clear a condition, give a strength to everyone who stands by you. I'm going to turn to Lacey and just say, okay, you did that. You did that yesterday, before yesterday, for last year, whatever. But there's still tomorrow. There's still after tomorrow. You might have thought that you were putting on a persona to trick us, but I know the Lacey I met, and I know that there's always days for you to become that Lacey, even if you don't think you are. I know that's true for anyone. Look at them. I point to where Deja is like like fallen in Artificer's arm. They would have said very similar things if we'd asked them a while ago, but if I can believe that they deserve happiness, then same is for anyone.
Hell yeah. Oh my goodness. Are you offering someone support in a way that could be meaningful to them?
I think that might be the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all hearing this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give a string to anyone who stands by you.
Oh, yes, yeah. I forgot that you were using Stand Proud.
Yes, you gave everybody a string just now.
If you say how you stand by me or agree into it, yeah, you can take a string.
Yeah. I would say that you can tell that Victoria wanted to approach Lacey, but that the fact that she's holding Deja made her stay still because she's not strong enough to just carry a person around. And she also said that she was here for them, so she's not going to just put them down.
Yeah.
But she's listening intently, and when Sahira, she's listening very carefully to Lacey, without, I would say, like, surprised, but not, like, a harsh look on her face. And then when Sahira starts talking about how they deserve happiness, too, oh, definitely big beads of tears drip down, maybe bouncing onto Deja's suit, like, their, you know, armor or whatever. But
yeah, I think, like, Sahira's kind of got her hand outstretched, and Lacey sniffles and wipes her nose on her sleeve and then takes the hand and is like, All right. I'm going to do right by you. Both of you.
You shouldn't let others tell you who you are, not the world. You also shouldn't let your own doubt and harmful thoughts do that either. Speaking of the world, though, we gotta do something to make sure that we don't end up like that.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to stop them, we have to try to protect ourselves even a little. And Sahira is gonna go over to Artificer and Deja and go, do you mind if I take a look at her?
Sure. And I gently move her so that she's closer to Sahira.
I'll assist. And so like I feel like we end up like both kind of lifting her but like and like touching at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Question is, do I still see like magic in the offer? Because I saw the world's magic on them.
Yeah.
On like the world. So do I see it here now that I'm looking at Deja?
Yeah. So I think you see rope burn on Deja's arms. Where okay. there was twine enwrapping them.
Okay.
And keyword was, because, yes. yeah, past tense.
Yep. Do I see that twine anywhere nearby?
So I think you see, like, weaving out back away, as if it, like, were being reeled in. You see, mm-hmm. like, the split end of a rope of twine, the magical twine kind of whipping back into the woods and the grass.
Lacey, could you grab that?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. I don't know how their power works, but I know that one of the components to a lot of magical wards is things associated with the harm that is trying to be prevented. I don't know if it will work, but maybe I could try to give us something that'll give us some protection from their influence. But it might end up with them noticing where we are at all times. There's only one way to find out, though. And she will grab the twine, grab a piece of their own hair, grab a blade of grass from the garden, and then start twining them together into an oval.
Mm-hmm.
And then start looking around and realize, I need something that connects us to remind us of who we are. If they try to break our bond, should help ground it. And I look between the other two.
The other two, like yeah. Atlas and Deja, or
Deja. No. I look between Artificer and.
I think Victoria rolls something between her fingers, and you can see that it's some of the grease that always is on her, and offers up her thumb to Sahira to. Take that as perfect. Like a reagent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Lacey like slides her hand over her phone and then like snaps her fingers and there's like a little spark of electricity that you can see has like her phone MAC address written into it and hands that over.
As they come together, the grease and the electricity, it starts a small fire. And so in the center of the oval, a circle starts to form of this fire, and then the circle opens up, and it is an eye.
Mm.
As out of the twine and grass and hair combined with the fire from the other two, created a magical Hemsa, which is a ward against evil. And I will roll Sapphic Super Science with Spirit. That is a 10 on the dice, so an 11.
Hell yeah. So you get two options.
I would like, since we're headed to the end,
mm-hmm.
it leads to unexpected opportunity,
mm-hmm.
and it reveals to you something to you about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll tell you what the unexpected opportunity is, and then if you want to tell us what it reveals to you.
Yeah.
And so I think that the eye kind of like opens up, and you can feel the protection wash over you. And then you can look down, and the three of you look down through the eye, and you get almost like a top-down look at the world. The world has like 12 laptops open in front of them, sitting in some room right now. And they're like typing on all of them, and like additional arms like come and reach out and type for a little bit and then like jump back in. You can see on the laptops, each of them has like, we'll get panels of different email windows of like crime stopped, you know, on Fifth Street, crime stopped near avenues, like blah, 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 blah. And then like the last one that we'll see is like for immediate release, the world, colon, the only hero we'll ever need.
I have an idea for what Sahira might learn about themselves.
Yeah. I'm also happy to extend it to the group if we want, since we all kind of contributed to this.
Yeah.
That's I mean, it could be a group. It's kind of a group thing.
Yeah, hit me with it.
We established that up until this point, Lacey had kind of been leading the group on their escapades for very ulterior motives. But I think we kind of figure out that Sahira's really the one who's fit to lead this team.
I feel like that could be just represented with like all of us looking back, like at it, like all three of our hands sort of like on this amulet, looking at one another, acknowledging what we saw, and just like a panel of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's sufficient.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And that is going to close us out for this issue of Protean City Pride Annual. We will have a big old finale with every voice that you've heard so far coming up. In the meantime, if folks wanted to find the three of you fine folks on the internet, check out the amazing cool stuff that you're doing, what would be the best way for them to do that? And I think we'll go down same order as we have, Siobhan, Alice, and then Amr.
So you can find me on Twitter at Spellbound Mage, where there's a pinned tweet with my other podcasts and a link to my Twitch.
Cool. I'm Alice Kara, and likewise, you can find me on Twitter at Magical Girl Kira, where I will shout about everything I'm excited about being part of.
Oh, yeah. And I'm Amr Emeraz. You can find me on Twitter at Emeraz, where you can keep up with my game design, podcasting, and streaming stuff. This will be in a month from now, but I will probably almost definitely still be also doing a lot of activism stuff for Palestine, so you can follow that there as well. That's it. That's all I got.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy.
This issue was emceed by Taylor LaBresh, who can be found on Twitter at LeviathanFiles. Check out his podcast, Game Closet, and buy his games at RiverhouseGames.com. Sahira was played by Amr Emeraz, who can be found on their Twitter at Emeraz for all game design and podcasting news, as well as on Utopia and the Musafir podcast. The Artificer was played by Siobhan, who can be found on Twitter at Spellbound Mage, on the Otherwhere podcast, or on Twitch at twitch.tv/runawaysorcery, where she streams games. Is played by Alice Kira, who can be found on Twitter at Magical Girl Kira, and you can find her games at magical-girl-kira.itch.io.
The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.